A couple of months ago, I began to think about what theme I would choose for today's devotional. And nothing that I liked was popping into my mind. I thought of a few character traits like patience and faith. I thought about a few key scriptures that are very precious to us, like John 3:16 or Revelation 21:4. But nothing seemed to be a good theme for today's service. Starting to panic, I looked at the manna text and comment for today. And there it was, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. One of my favorite scriptures. In fact, the text I would include whenever I was asked to sign someone's manna book. Those of you who are as old as I am might remember the blue hardbound manna books that had an extra page next to each of the dates with the scriptures for brethren to sign on their birth date so that you could remember them every year when their birthday came around. Then I looked up the reprint article from which this comment is taken. It's on reprint page 3135, and the article is an outstanding article. Its title is Hold Fast That Which Is Good, and it begins with these attention-grabbing words. Our lesson is a summary statement of the proper attitude for the Lord's people to maintain in order that they may grow in grace and through faithfulness finally come off conquerors through their Redeemer. No child of God can afford to ignore nor neglect these words of divine counsel. And in proportion as each of us gives heed to them in our lives, we'll surely be the more Christ-like, and we will thus be the more pleasing to the Lord, and eventually make our calling and election sure to joint heirship with him in the millennial kingdom and its glories and its service to the world of mankind. There it is. All you need to do is this, and you will make your calling and election sure. Number the Russell ends this introductory paragraph with, let's take up these apostolic injunctions seriatim. That's a fancy word for in sequence, in order. Now, the main outline of the article is a discussion of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, particularly verses 14 to 22, in which Paul exhorts the brethren to follow certain guidelines of Christian character. Sister Lori Jesuit will read those for us.
Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil.
Now, what really caught my eye in examining this reprint article was the fact that not only was the manna comment for today, August 18th, taken from this article, but also the manna comments for August 15, 16, 17, and 19. A total of 5 manna comments taken from one reprint article. So now I had my theme for today's devotional. One reprint article, 5 manna comments. We'll read each scripture in the comment for the 5 days. I'll add a thought or two from the article for each one, and we'll sing a few verses of a hymn that seems to go along with each day's scripture or comment. So let's begin with the manna text and comment for August 15th. Sister Anna Dedescu will read that for us.
Be patient toward all, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. This seems to imply that the better balanced amongst the Lord's people should look with sympathy upon the exercise and exercise patience, forbearance, not only toward the weak and those who lack courage, but toward all, including those who have too much courage and self-push. Growth in knowledge helps us to grow in grace of patience, for as we appreciate more and more The Heavenly Father is patient with us. It helps us to apply the same principle towards others. The thought that our Heavenly Father has favored and called anyone should make us extremely careful how we should cooperate with the Lord in respect to the call and be as helpful as possible to all those who are seeking to walk with us in the footsteps of our Lord in the narrow way.
In this part of the reprint article, Brother Russell also comments on 1 Thessalonians 5:16, "Rejoice evermore," with these words. The Christian's rejoicing is not hysterical, but founded on established principles, upon promises and comforting assurances of the divine word, which stands firm amid all the storms and trials and shocks of life. And I thought how appropriate those words were to us amid all the storms and trials and shocks of life in our present day. But getting back to the man, a comment on be patient toward all, and especially toward our brethren, as the manna comment said, I thought hymn 23 would be a good choice for us to sing. So let's sing hymn 23, verses 1, 4, and 6. Let's move on now to the second of the five manna texts and comments taken from this reprint article. The manna text and comment for August 16th. Sister Veronica Brigutza will read that for us.
In everything give thanks. Having the condition of heart, which is in fellowship with the Lord and fully devoted to the doing of his will, the Lord's people not only implore his blessing at the beginning of each day and present their thanks at the close of each day, but in all of life's affair, they seek to remember that they have consecrated their all to the Lord, and by faith look up to him in all the affairs of life. And in proportion to the importance of their undertakings, they, by faith, realize the associations of God's providence with all the interests of life, and give thanks accordingly. This is the will of God concerning us. He wills that we live in such an attitude of constant regard for his will and for his blessings. And he wills it in respect to us, because it will be the condition most favorable to our progress in the narrow way, and which will best assist us in making our calling and election sure.
The first part of that verse says, pray without ceasing. And Brother Russell adds this comment on prayer in general. Only somewhat advanced pupils in the school of Christ are prepared clearly to comprehend this exhortation. Pray without ceasing. And everything gives thanks. Having surrendered their wills and all of the interests of the present life to the Lord, exchanging earthly interests for heavenly interests, the Lord's people are less disposed than others to pray unceasingly for earthly good things. Having set their affections on things above, their prayers are in respect to those things, the heavenly robe, the heavenly food, the heavenly favor. Their prayers are specially for such leadings of divine providence and such assistance of divine graces will enable them to rejoice always in such experiences as their gracious Lord may deem best for their spiritual development. More and more they find their prayers to consist of thanksgiving for blessings already received, as well as for those yet to come which they grasp by the hand of faith. End of quote. And I thought that was a powerful statement, that as we mature more in Christ's likeness, our prayer life will likewise become more deep, more fulfilling, and focused more on thankfulness for the things we have been given and for the things we expect to receive by the Lord's grace and promises, rather than asking for things which perhaps may not be the best for our highest spiritual welfare. There are many nice hymns about prayer to choose from in connection with this manna text and comment, but I particularly appreciate the words of hymn number 219, Render Thanks to God. It's a short hymn, so we'll sing all four verses. Number 219. Next is the manna text and comment for August 17th. Sister Lily Krishan will read that for us.
Quench not the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. The Spirit of the Lord amongst his people is compared to a flame of sacred love for the Lord and all connected with his cause. This flame is enkindled through the divine message in each one individually, when begotten of the Holy Spirit, and appertains, therefore, to the Church collectively under the guidance of that Spirit. In proportion as the Church grows in knowledge and in love and in fellowship with the Lord, this flame of sacred love will make it a light in the world, a city set on a hill which cannot be hid.
In the reprint article from which all of these manna comments are taken from, the paragraph following the comment we just heard contains these gem thoughts. This flame of sacred love may indeed consume our mortal bodies as living sacrifices in the service of the truth. But with such a consumption, the new mind is fully in accord and rejoices, realizing that it has in heaven an enduring habitation, and counting it all joy to be reckoned worthy to suffer for the Lord's cause. The more this flame of sacred love burns individually and collectively in the church, the greater will be the progress in all good things. Again, there are many hymns about the Holy Spirit to choose from, but the thought of the reprint article on this verse seemed to be along the lines of a fiery zeal actuated by this sacred flame of love. So I selected hymn number 20, Awake My Soul. Let's sing verses 1, 3, and 5 of hymn number 20. text, of course, is today's manna text and comment, which was read this morning. But let's listen to it again to keep it in the context of the scriptures in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Sister Tamara Hack will read this for us.
Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. However much they should ever come to respect prophesying or public speaking, the Lord's people should learn proportionately not to receive what they might hear without proper examination and criticism. They should prove all things that they hear, should exercise discrimination of mind as to what is logically and scripturally supported, and what is mere conjecture and possibly sophistry. They should prove what they hear with a view to holding fast everything that stands the test of the divine word and shows itself to be in accordance with the Holy Spirit. And they should as promptly reject whatever will not stand these tests. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21.
A rather strong exhortation, framed in rather pointed words. And the words immediately following this manna comment in the reprint article are also very pointed. I'll read them. Alas, the Lord's people today greatly need to give attention to this exhortation. For much is being presented in the name of the Lord and as the teaching of his word that is neither logical nor scriptural, that is supported neither by the letter nor the spirit of the word, much that is not good and should be rejected. Let us diligently heed the apostle's exhortation on this point. End of quote. I suppose if I were to ask you to select a hymn that talks about truth, most of you would probably think of hymn number 238, Heavenly Truth. And so that's the one I've selected. Let's sing all three verses of hymn number 238. Final manna text in our series of five taken from this one reprint article is for tomorrow, August 19th. Sister Donna Whitaker will read that for us.
Abstain from every form of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. The exhortation is that everything that is evil, whether it have a good form or a bad form, is to be resisted and opposed. To abstain from every appearance of evil is another thought, a different one from what the apostle words in the original would warrant. Nevertheless, they represent a sound principle. We surely should abstain not only from evil things, whatever their form or garb, but we should abstain so far as possible from doing things that we know to be good, which our friends or neighbors might misunderstand and consider to be evil things. The spirit of a sound mind dictates that not only evil in its every form, But everything that has an evil appearance even should be avoided, that our influence for the Lord and the truth may be the greater.
In the reprint article immediately preceding these words, which we just heard read, is this warning. There are various evils which present themselves, some in their true hideousness, and some under a cloak of hypocrisy, some openly and boldly admitting their evil character and endeavoring to decoy the Lord's people into sin, others garbing themselves as angels of light, would seek to mislead and to deceive. And how much in this present evil day do we need to hear these words and abide by them? Thinking of a hymn that would go along with this verse of scripture and the comment associated with it, I was torn between two, hymn number 130 and hymn number 183. They're both good, so we'll sing them both. We'll start with hymn number 130, all three verses, and then sing hymn number 183. Now hymn number 183. The verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 touched on in this article is verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. At the end of this list of exhortations to good Christian living, Paul writes this: "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the closing paragraphs of the article I found very inspiring. Sister Joan Palumbo will read this concluding paragraph for us.
In closing, the apostle pronounces his benediction. It is an invocation, the expression of his heart's desire on their behalf, that the God of peace would sanctify them wholly. He thus emphasizes the fact that God is not a God of confusion, anarchy, turmoil, and disturbance, but a God of peace, and that in proportion as we are taught of him in the school of Christ, we will become lovers of peace. And the peace of God will dwell in us and will abound in us more and more and cause us to be not unfruitful in regard to holy character and will make us advocates and promoters of peace in our words and deeds. As it is written, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peace in the heart, manifesting itself in the look and word and conduct, is, as the apostle intimates, an evidence of the whole or complete setting apart, and that God's Spirit has come into such a sanctified heart and is filling it with his peace, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding.
Well, brethren, we're going to end a little early today. It was hard for me to estimate how long it would take to sing hymns and how long it would take, brethren, to read the various readings that I distributed among you. So I have just one or two closing remarks, and then we're going to sing our closing hymn. But peace was the ultimate end and the ultimate result of listening to and heeding the exhortations that we read earlier in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And again, how precious it is that we have this peace that passeth all understanding. In our busy day, with all the commotion going on, the busyness, men's hearts failing them for fear, for seeing what is going on in the world around them. And yet we are protected, isolated, and covered with the peace of God. And so may that peace be yours as we leave this place now and return to our daily, everyday lives. Let's sing in closing hymn number 233, a hymn that speaks of peace. It's entitled Peace, Troubled Soul. And at its conclusion, Brother Jack Whitaker will word our closing prayer. Hymn number 233.
Our most kind, gracious, and loving Heavenly Father, we do bow before you with all humility and respect at the end of this meeting and at the end of this day of worship. We thank you, Father, for this meeting and the exhortations, exhorting to be patient, exhorting to be thankful for all things, exhorting to prove all things, exhorting to quench not the Spirit, and exhorting, dear Father, to be closer to you in all ways, loving you, doing your will, obedience, and faithfulness. We do thank you for all these promises that you've provided for us. We thank you for the lessons of this day, our understanding of the character of Stephen and how that would be wonderful to emulate his character. We thank you for the studies that we had, hopefully to learn more about how we should live and act. And we do thank you, of course, for the greatest gift of all, your Son Jesus, who died on our behalf. We do, dear Father, look for the coming kingdom where righteousness will dwell. And we pray and thank you for all these blessings through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.